Our scripture lesson today is in Luke chapter 10. For the sermon, the forest for the trees, which is making my children go, what? They came in this morning and they looked at it and they do this and they're like, what does that mean? And I always tell them the same thing. Stick around, I'll tell you all about it in a little while, right after this commercial break. Luke chapter 10. And I want you to just follow along the very, very last verse of Luke chapter 10. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We have much more to work on, but I want to set a tone. So let's just think about that as we come before the Lord and get our hearts right and set for this message. Father, as we pray together, let the message be from you. Let the ramblings be coherent. Let us hear it, understand it, and grow from it. And be taken from it stronger today, Father. That we may lift up those around us. Speak openly of Jesus Christ. Your salvation through Him. His death, His resurrection. And our eternal joy reward yet to come. These things we pray through Jesus Christ and all of His children said, amen. All right, let's take a poll. By show of hands, and I'm going to be counting, by show of hands, how many people watch the TV this week? Go ahead. Pretty much everybody. Got it. Israel, are you not sure? You know what a TV is? All right, very good. By show of hands, how many people watch the news this week? Right. How many people, when they were watching the news this week, now be honest, because you're in church, and I'll know if you're lying, because I have a little light right here that comes on when you do. I just haven't installed it yet. How many people became aggravated, frustrated? Keep your hands up. Angry, contemptuous, that's the word, fed up. Say amen.
Amen.
How many people wanted something to happen to those people who are doing stupid stuff out there? Say amen.
Amen.
How many people sat in front of their television watching the news and went, boy, if they tried to stop my car as I was driving through that protest, I would get out and start kicking them off. Say amen.
Amen.
You all did it, right? Everybody's getting mad. Now I got to, yeah. That's my boy. Got a question for you by show of hands. And remember, you're in church. Be honest. I got my buzzer. How many people in this room are Christians? Interesting. Very, very interesting. Everybody in this room is identifying as Christians. Not brethren, not Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, or anything therein. Just plain up, straight up Christians. Amen? How many people during that moment of aggravation, again, honesty is going to be a key factor here. How many people during that moment of aggravation stopped for a moment, realized what they were doing, and started praying? Mm-hmm. You didn't see my hand up, go up, did you? This is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. You know what that means? That means the good Lord is watching just a little bit extra. And if I would have put my hand up and lied, Zavaco! He would have smote me. Smitten me. He'd have smacked me around. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Because you all know what you did and didn't do. I watched that television set. I watched that news, and I have to tell you, I am a highly educated pastor. I have tons of book learning. I know the rules. I get up here on Sunday morning and I tell you all what the rules are, and I shake my finger at you when you're not following the rules. And we have rules. You know how many rules we have, anybody?
Ten.
That's right. You get to buy me lunch today. That backfired, didn't it? We have 10 rules. They're pretty simple. Don't do this. Don't do that. Make sure you do this. Honor your mother and father. Where's Sarah at? Little Sarah, get out here. I want to make sure I see you when I say, honor your mother, your father, and your grandmother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't do stupid stuff. It's 10 simple rules. And I get up here every Sunday and I tell you what the rules are. And when I am in a mood and I think we're falling away from the track a little bit, or we need a little bit of adjustment, I get up here all high and mighty with my education. I even got a PhD. You know what that means? Pretty hard-headed and dumb. I get up here every Sunday morning, I tell you. And then I sat here thinking about the forest for the trees. And I realize I'm just as bad. And you know what? I'm thankful for it. Now, we're all sitting here going, what is the forest for the trees? That doesn't even make sense. We don't understand that. Now, some people have heard that saying, and because I am educated and I want you to be as smart as I am, I want you to understand that the meaning of it means an overwhelming feeling of lost or misunderstanding, a diversion, a distraction, a division. The forest for the trees. You know, people get distracted sometimes, may find themselves doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and suddenly they don't know where they're at, or they've lost track of things. What's going on out there? I seen a bunch of you look. I got you real good, didn't I? That's the forest for the trees. You see everybody running in a direction, and suddenly you're running with them, and you don't know why. Distraction, diversion, division. See, that's how it works. And we're prey to it. Why? Because we have something that keeps us in line. Starts with an H. Called humanity. None of us are righteous quite yet. But we have to be careful. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. What's that mean? Roaring lion? Anybody here like to watch nature shows? Oh man, don't you love them? Now, I'm going to bet we have three groups of people here who like to watch nature shows. We have the group that's, you like watching them goofy nature shows where the meerkat manor, where the cats are always doing silly things, or the puppy dog shows, or that kind of stuff, or where the little lion cubs are playing. Then you have the group that goes, cool, I'd like to go there. And that's the group of you that when they're showing this beautiful scenery, you think to yourself, man, I would love to go see that scenery. And then you have the other group. That's the group I fall into. Yeah! That group. When they... water buffalo wanders down there after tormenting the lion, and the lion gets the last laugh on him, or the alligator. Gah, 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 gah. Circle of life, it's all part of it. And I love watching them shows because they talk about how the lion stalks its prey and waits for a distraction, creates a diversion, makes a division, and takes out his prey. We have a cat. We have a cat that adopted us, came from a barn. That is about the coolest cat in the world. That cat kills everything it moves. I'm telling you, when that cat sits in the house sometimes looking at us, I think it's thinking to itself, I think I could take that big one down and eat for a year off of him. She'll sit in my chair with me, sit on my chest and look right in my face as I'm petting her. And the whole time she's looking at me like, if I could just get him to fall down the steps. The problem is we fall prey to our own diversions, our own distractions, our own division. Now in Luke chapter 10, I led with the very last verse of it, and we all know that story of Martha and Mary. Martha's doing all the work, Mary's doing all the watching. But I submit that we get back into Luke chapter 10 and back up to verse 25 and listen with me as we go through it. On one occasion, an expert in the law, stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. Have you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everybody understands that part, right? Say amen. Amen. That is concrete, ironclad rules to live by, right? You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? We're about to walk into the forest. Be careful of the trees. And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to help him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Well, Paul, that's the story of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows that story. Yes, you do. Everybody knows that story. Anybody in here never heard that story until I read it? Everybody knows that story. That story teaches us love, right? Teaches us love your neighbor. Say amen. Thank you, Leah. Lately, for some reason, I don't know whether it's because I'm reading things differently or taking a different path in life or I'm 51 years old now. I don't know. But lately when I look at Scripture, it's not the same as it once was. What? Wait a minute. What? I'll tell you what. The Scripture is talking to me differently. Not wrong. Not away from the Bible. It's making me look at the story again. And I'm telling you right now, if you look at the story of the Good Samaritan as just a love your neighbor kind of thing, you don't miss the forest for the trees. Somebody say, tell me about it, Pastor Paul.
Tell me about it. Pastor Paul.
You all are hard. You know that? This is my day. You're supposed to be playing along. Say, tell me about it, Pastor Paul.
Tell me about it, Pastor Paul.
No, you done made me mad. The trees in this story are the preacher, the priest, and the Levite. The priest, a man of God, seeing someone laying naked. Let's not play around. Let's go ahead and be very descriptive and careful. Naked and beaten, laying alongside the road on his way to death. Now, the man laying alongside the road, we can pull from this scripture, was most likely a Jewish man, because he was going to Jericho. The priest sees a Jewish man laying there. No, he doesn't. He sees a naked man covered in blood, and he sees trouble. And he says to himself in his fine robes and his fine wear, I ain't got time for this. He's dying anyway. And goes on about his way. That's a tree. The next person that comes up is a Levite. Levite, one of the 12. One of the guys, man. The tribe of Levite, a Levite man. Knowledgeable and educated and of some stature. He looks at this naked, bleeding, dying man. And somehow he determines, well, he must be a Samaritan. I don't have no good for them. They're on the other side. Get dirty. Oh, no, thank you. And he kind of steps over to the other side of the road and keeps on going. That's your second tree. And a Samaritan who, as you know, and if you don't, the Jews did not like. We know that because Jesus at the well talked to a Samaritan woman and she said to him, why are you talking to me? A Samaritan man stops and he sees a human being laying alongside the road dying. He sees the forest. And he tends to him. And he lifts him up and he takes him. And he carries him along. And he puts him somewhere fancy, in a bed, nice. And tells him, minister to him, here's some money. I'll be back after a bit and I'll fess up everything that needs to be taken care of. And I'll pay. He taught how to see the forest through the trees. He teaches us in that moment how to step away from distraction. He teaches us what diversion and division look like. And yet we sit in front of our newfangled television sets. Let me make sure I'm clear on this. I'm not telling you you're a bad person. I'm not telling you you're not going to get frustrated. But I am telling you that when we sit in front of our television sets or we pick up the newspaper or we look on our cell phones or we look at somebody on Facebook or Twitter that's just wound up and all we want to do is argue and fuss and fight with them, we are seeing only the trees. When we fail to do our number one job, we see only the trees. We don't see the beauty of what the forest is. When we forget that, we hang Christianity off to the side. We allow ourselves to become distracted. Yogi Berra, well-known catcher for the New York Yankees. Everybody knows who Yogi Berra was. His favorite sayings, my favorite saying of his, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Yep, that's right, take it. And Hank Aaron, who was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves at that time, these teams were in the World Series, and Yogi Berra, as usual, was keeping up his ceaseless chatter, trying to pep up his teammates, and trying to distract the Milwaukee batters on the other. Hank Aaron came up to the plate and Yogi tried to distract him by saying, Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark. Louisville Slugger. Aaron didn't say anything and he kept yelling at him. And he kept hollering. And when the next pitch came, Hank Aaron reared back and dropped that ball somewheres up in the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging home plate, Aaron walked over to Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come here today to read." When we allow the world to distract us, we allow diversion to take place and division to set in. We get wrapped up in this versus that. And then comes the diversion. Those moments. Tom McAfee writing tells about a former police officer who talks about tactics involving a roving band of thieves. They go into stores as a group and they separate themselves, and one starts a loud commotion on one section of the store, and the clerks and the customers are grabbed by the attention of it, like when I looked out the window. And as all eyes are watching that, the accomplices go along and fill up their pockets of loot. Hours, sometimes days later, the victim merchant realizes what has happened, but when he calls the police, it's too late. How often the effective strategy is used by the evil one. We are seduced into those tactics. And he does things like, "Hey, did you see what them liberals did on TV last night?" And if you're a conservative, of course, immediately your hair stands up on end. Or, "Hey, did you hear how stupid them GOP guys are?" If you're a liberal, you're getting excited. If you're a conservative, your hair's up on end, and you're ready to get in your truck and go down there and see what's going on. And suddenly you forget what you are. You become divided. You stop seeing the forest and only the trees. You get lost in forgetting what your job is to do. Your job is to pray that the right will triumph. And I'm not talking about the right. I'm talking about the right. That's what your job is. Yes, you can be a little frustrated with some of the stupid stuff that goes on in this country and some of the dumb things that they've come up with. This week, I became enraged when I heard that you can now enter your brand new baby on a birth certificate in the state of New York as gender X. Boy, girl, X. If my parents had done that to me when I got old enough, I would smoke them, smite them. I'd smack them around. I'll never get that word right. I keep fooling around with it. I'm going to get something's going to happen. We get too lost, though, in that moment. Instead of trying to understand that these people are without truth and understanding, we become without truth and understanding. We forget to pray that they will turn around and that they will turn back. That is our number one function. Say amen if you're with me. Is to pray and love them. That's hard, ain't it? Say amen. We've talked about that. Being much concerned about the rise of denominations in the church, John Wesley tells of a dream he had. And in the dream, he was ushered to the gates of hell, and there he asked, "Are there any Presbyterians here?"
"Yes,"
came the reply. Then he asked, "Are there any Baptists here? Any Episcopalians, any Methodists, any Lutherans?" And the answer was yes, at the gates of hell each time. Much distressed, Wesley was ushered to the gates of heaven. And then he asked the same questions. "Any brethren in here?"
"No."
"Any Lutherans in here?"
"No."
"Any Methodists, Baptists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians?" I don't know what other denominations there are. "Are they in here?" And the answer was constantly no. And Wesley asked, "Well, who is in here?" And the answer came back simply, "There are only Christians here." Only Christians here. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, had these words to say. "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. And another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Apollos? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the households of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest, listen to me, the cross be emptied of its power. Emptied of its power. We sing that song, The Old Rugged Cross. Anybody in here still get a lump in their throat when they sing it? Oh, yeah, boy. Somewhere along that song, I don't care who you are, I don't care how many times you've sung it, on a hill far away, you start, I've got to get through this song. I don't sing that song out loud, because I can't do it. I start bawling and carrying on like some woman watching a romantic comedy. The only reason I know that is because I have a wife and she makes me watch them with her. Why? Why does that song touch us? Because of that song, we see the forest and not the trees. We understand the power of what that means. And when we allow ourselves to become distracted and divided, we forget what the joy is yet to come. And in Paul's words, we empty the power of the cross. Good heavens, that's powerful, isn't it? We empty the power of the cross. A buddy of mine owns 350 acres of preserve somewhere around St. Thomas outside of Parsons, West Virginia. They go there to hunt, to get away, because there ain't no cell phone service, there ain't no electricity, there ain't no nothing. And I haven't been for a while, but every time I talk to him, I always ask the same question, how's the chestnut doing? In this gigantic bunch of trees exists a forest. And years ago, when I came to that ground for the very first time, he and I jumped on four-wheelers and he drove me to a part on this property where an American chestnut is alive and well. Oh my goodness, amen. And I don't mean it's that big around. I mean that girl is that big around. An American chestnut. They don't grow. What happens when they get so big? The blight. And they're gone. They don't grow. Now they're trying to bring them back. They're trying to do things. There's a chestnut grove down in University of Virginia somewhere that I want to go down and see. And there's one growing somewhere in Howard County, Maryland. They're trying. But this is one that's growing on its own in the trees, in the forest, defying all odds. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that when someone is starting in on you about the right and the wrong, it just doesn't matter. When they are calling you names, when they are saying you're one of them hypocritical Christians, it just doesn't matter. When they challenge you, well, the Bible is nothing but falsehoods. The Bible is nothing but a bunch of words written by men. The Bible had so much more to it, and a group of guys decided what the Bible would be. It doesn't matter. When all seems lost, it doesn't matter because the next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go see the forest and the trees. Go be what you are to be, now that I have given you the power of the cross. Go and love your neighbors, even when they're making you aggravated and frustrated and angry and hard to understand. Pray for them in the midst of everything that's going on. This versus that. Be in the middle and pray for them. Pray that God gives you the strength every day to lift up His name in front of those who would curse you, and gives you the strength to lift up His name every day in front of those who need to hear it. Because I'm telling you right now, family, there is a whole wide world just outside that door that needs to hear the name of Jesus Christ, that needs to hear the gospel, that needs to be lifted up, that needs to know who you are and where you stand in front of Jesus Christ, regardless of what they think. You be the forest. Amen. Be the forest, not a tree. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the lessons you teach us from the most simplistic of places. We thank you that we're called to look into your book, to your words deeper, stronger. Not necessarily with new meanings, but with broader meanings. And that because of you, Father, you gave us Jesus Christ, who gives us everything. We ask you this now, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us. In the name of Jesus Christ the Almighty. Amen.